Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Warfare in heaven. Satan fighting against the stronger part of God's people and being cast down to the earth. This is the picture that we have in Revelation chapter 12, and joining us today to discuss it on this Life Study of the Bible program is Francis Ball. Francis, welcome back once again.
Thank you, Chris. It's always a pleasure to be with you in this program.
Francis, this is a significant chapter. We've mentioned before that chapter 12 begins a new section in the book of Revelation. Now we're beginning to fill in the details of the timeline that we saw presented in the first 11 chapters. And most significant is this event, this warfare occurring in this chapter in heaven between the great dragon and the woman who is about to bring forth a man-child. I think as we begin, it would be good to get a picture of what we're talking about since these events are so significant in the working out of God's divine economy. Let's look at a few of these verses, and then I'll ask you to comment a little bit. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it begins, "And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth, and being in pain to bring forth. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, there was a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bring forth, so that when she brings forth he might devour her child. And she brought forth a son, a man-child, who is to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels went to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they did not prevail, neither was their place found any longer in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the ancient serpent, he who is called the devil and Satan, he who deceives the whole inhabited earth. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now has come the salvation, and the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers has been cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night." Francis, this is quite a picture. Actually, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Maybe you could prepare our listeners a little bit for what we're in for today.
Well, Chris, I believe this is a portion that has been a mystery to many, many Bible readers. And we're seeing again the signs that are in this book, the woman and the seed of the woman and then the serpent. In the beginning, in Genesis, these were just individual beings. But now when we get to Revelation chapter 12, we're going to see in this message an unfolding of what a corporate entities these are. The woman is not just a single individual woman. The dragon is not just a little snake, but he's a great red dragon. And the seed is not just the seed of the woman, which is a prophecy concerning Christ individually. These are all going to be developed in this message, I think, to the surprise and the enlightenment and the encouragement of all of God's people.
I liked all 3 adjectives you used there, surprise, enlightenment, and encouragement. I think if the Lord is with us today, Francis, all 3 of those will be the case, as you mentioned. One verse that Witness Lee is going to refer to in this first section is actually in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, a short verse. And the point here, it says, "Husbands, in like manner, dwell together with them according to knowledge, as with the weaker female vessel, assigning honor to them as also to fellow heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Not a verse that's popular in today's political climate, but nonetheless one that's important to our message today, Francis.
That's right.
Here you have the totality of God's people, which is symbolized by an universal woman. And this woman started in Genesis 3:15 with Eve. She was single, individual, local, but now she is no more individual. She is no more local. sees collective and sees universal. And Satan is the one, he is no more just the little serpent creeping on the earth, but a big dragon moving and acting in the air. And the sea is no more just Christ, the individual Christ. But today, the seed is a corporate entity. You may say the corporate Christ, including Christ at the head and all his overcoming members. These three things were small in Genesis 3:15, but now in Revelation 12, they all have become bigger and bigger and bigger. A universal woman with a corporate seed and a very big dragon. By reading and praying about this portion of the word, we can realize man-child here doesn't indicate a baby, but rather it indicates the stronger part within this woman. This woman represents the totality of all God's people. History proves to us that among God's people, not everyone is so strong. Even you read the Old Testament, you can see the majority of God's people, they were real, no doubt, yet they were not strong. Only a few among them were the strong ones. Then you read the New Testament. Even the early days, thousands of Christians, but not too many who were really strong. Down to the present time, today, not all of us are so strong. In the Bible, woman, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, signifies the weaker ones. Man signifies the stronger ones. So here you have a woman, yes, but within her there is the man, the man-child. As a whole, the woman is universal, is bright, but not altogether strong. Only a part within her is strong. And this strong part, no doubt, is the strong ones among God's people. Thank the Lord, we all are a part of the woman, but we must look to the Lord that we have to be made more and more solid, that we may grow from the woman to her stronger part.
Francis, we've been talking for several weeks now about this matter of overcomers among God's people, but I think the thought is still probably new to many of our listeners. But it really makes sense, doesn't it, that there have always been some stronger ones among God's people throughout the ages, even though usually a small number, but ones who have been willing to fight for God's interests.
That's certainly the picture you get throughout the Bible and also throughout history among God's people. Even Israel was God's chosen people, but there were specific ones that stood out as stronger ones. And this whole word that Brother Lee just gave us is really a charge to have a desire to be among the strong ones, which is represented here by the man-child. You know, I think we have to realize, Chris, that this doesn't say a boy baby. This says man-child. That's very significant because there is this stronger part among all believers in Christ. It's simple to believe in Christ and to receive Him and to become a part of the woman. But there must be some desire on our side if we expect to be a stronger part of this woman, the one who can really fight the enemy and stand for God. This portion of this message this time I felt was very striking and rather challenging that we would have the desire to be a stronger part among God's people.
Francis, I believe when believers hear this kind of speaking in these verses particularly, something within a genuine believer rises up. There is that element of the desire to be the man-child is really part of our salvation, isn't it? It's part of our heritage in Christ.
Yes, this must be something stirring up in us to be that stronger part.
So we trust the Lord in these messages and in these programs is helping to stir this in all of those who are hearing today. Let's go back to Witness Lee. We want to find out about what it means and how practically we can become part of this stronger part.
How could you be a part of the mentor? You have to eat more, and you have to grow more. You have to pray more, and you have to spend more time with the Lord, and you have to eat the Word more, and you have to have more dealings with all the negative things. If others would talk, you would not talk. You see, if others would not pray, you would pray more. You must be somewhat not separate from the woman, but a little different from the woman. The woman's situation is too general. You have to be somewhat particular. Don't be separate from the woman, but you need to be particular. You need to be somewhat different from the woman. So many dear ones, they are somewhat indifferent. They don't like to eat so much. They don't have the appetite. But you do. You are not indifferent. You are particular. And you are sober. And you are serious. And you do have the personal, direct, moment after moment dealing with the Lord all the time. Then you will be the stronger part within the woman. It depends upon how you react to God's desire, how you react to God's eternal economy. If day and night you just couldn't get on, if you do not give yourself wholly, thoroughly, entirely to God's economy. You couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat, you couldn't get on until you have put yourself fully in the hand of God's economy. If so, you are assured. You are a part of the mantle. There is the need of some stronger ones. You all know something about Brother Watchman Nee. He was put into prison, and he was kept there over 20 years. My, that was a long-lasting temptation. Day by day, he was, what, tempted to fail. Day by day, the door was open there for him to be tempted. But, praise the Lord, over 20 years, he stood there without any change. That means the stronger part. I have no doubt, Brother Nee is a part of this mantle. So many dear ones are so easy to excuse themselves, saying, oh, this, that, I can't make it, Don't say, oh. You know, you have to tell yourself, poor self, get away. Poor self, I have no heart for you. I don't care for you. I care for the Lord. I care for His testimony. Poor self, I don't care for you. We must be so strong, so absolute. Then your appetite will be alive.
Francis, of course, many people may not be familiar with the story of Watchman Nee, but in the last 20 years of his life, he was imprisoned by the communist regime in China. And for the most part, probably all he had to do to obtain his freedom would have been to renounce his faith in Christ. And that was the temptation, I think, specifically that our brother was referring to here. Let me ask you about this phrase that he mentioned repeatedly through this portion. What does it mean practically, Francis, that the overcomers should not try to separate themselves from the majority of God's people, but they do need to be distinct and particular?
This is quite a marvelous utterance here to me. Sometimes a person will be so set on being a stronger one that he feels that the bulk of Christianity and the bulk of the Christians that he knows are not that serious and not that absolute, but he's serious and he's absolute, and he cannot go along with these people any longer. So he separates himself, and this makes him a miscarriage. I think the picture here is quite amazing, that it's possible for a person to assume the strength or have such a desire and not be balanced by others and also by the Bible. Then they get ideas about themselves that separate them, in this case, from the woman, which is the totality of God's people. No, we must remain in fellowship with God's people, and even to be regulated and restrained by God's people. So that's the reason we are known as the body of Christ, because we are adjusted, we're restricted, as well as being supplied and supported by all the members. So to separate ourselves in order to be a strong one will actually result in a miscarriage that will not make you a strong one. So we want to remain in the woman, the totality of God's people, and we want to have this desire in us to eat more, to want to pray more, all the things that Brother Lee mentioned that we need to do more in order to be among the strong ones.
It's a wonderful balancing word from a brother who had a balanced experience after 70 years, didn't he?
Yes, this makes it so real and so rich and practical.
Francis, earlier in the program we read some of the verses in chapter 12, but we stopped just short of maybe the most encouraging, marvelous verse in that whole section, and that's because it's our topic in this final section, and I'm talking about verse 11 in chapter 12, and it says, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their soul life even unto death." Witness Lee is going to have a very marvelous portion on this verse just ahead. Let's join him now.
If you read verse 11 of this chapter, you can see these brothers who constitute the man-child. They did fight Satan, and then eventually they overcame Satan. They overcame Satan by what? By three things. Number one, by the blood of the Lamb. Maya, let me tell you, if you are going to rage the war against Satan, all the time the accuser would accuse you. Some cases are real, but some cases are false built up by the accuser. Day by day, we need the blood not only to cleanse us, but also what? To cover us. We have to apply all the time. Yes, if we do have some wrongs with someone, we have to make a clearance. But don't be accused. Don't be bothered by the accusation of the enemy. The brothers overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb, and also by the word of their testimony. You have to testify not only to men, but also to the demons. Tell the demons, demons, you have to know, your king, Satan, has been defeated by my Lord Christ.
Amen.
You shouldn't be here bothering me. You have to do the best preaching to Satan, telling Satan, Satan, don't you know you have been crucified on the cross? And you have been judged. And your destiny is to go to the lake of fire. And that is your destination. You have to say this. The testimony of your verbal word. You have to say it. Then number three. The brothers overcame the enemy. Through their not loving their soul life. They are faithful to death, loving not their soul life to death. When our soul life is killed, Satan got killed. This is the way for us, being the stronger part of the woman, to overcome Satan.
Francis, Witness Lee was quite passionate in this point, talking about fighting Satan and the ways to overcome him, particularly those that are revealed in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, a verse that every Christian should know, probably should have written down on his wall, where he sleeps and where he works, I would say. Maybe you could say something from your experience about this verse particularly.
Well, this verse really does give you the three ways that must be experienced by any who would be overcomers. Of course, he pointed out earlier that this is a matter of our appetite, of our hungering and thirsting after the Lord to want to be a strong one. If we will be those kind of people, then we have to exercise in the way we overcome. I like the way this whole thing developed. First, he puts an appetite in us to want to be part of the strong one. Then he shows that we must have this appetite increased and enlarged. And then he tells us how we really can overcome and get the victory over Satan. First of all, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I was really struck with his speaking in this way, because we not only have the blood to cleanse us, but we need to also claim and take the overcoming blood. We need to be protected by the blood and prevailed by the blood and overcome by the blood. There's an enemy that's always fighting against our progress in our Christian life. But the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is our response to the enemy. Then the second thing, by the word of our testimony. You know, some people just, they think these things. They think their prayers, and they think about what they would like to do. But you have to speak it. He brought out clearly now, we can't just keep these things in our mind and thinking about them. We must speak it. And sometimes, even by yourself in your room, you need to say, "Devil, you've deceived me long enough. Don't you know that you were finished at the cross of Christ? Your destiny is the lake of fire. Now you're not going to bother me anymore. Where I am, you cannot be." We have to be this bold with the enemy, not just praying to God for his blessing, he provide our needs, but sometimes we need to speak to Satan himself and let him know what's happened to him when Christ died on the cross and what's going to happen to him as this man-child comes into heaven and casts him out, and even follows him then to the earth and casts him into the lake of fire. There's a lot here, Chris. I feel like we really need this kind of exercise of speaking to the devil, Satan, the enemy of God, and not try to let him push us around by his accusations. Some are justified and many are not justified, but in either case, remember, we have the blood. And then, not loving our soul life unto death. This is an indication that this is a martyr's attitude and his feeling toward his own self-life. It's been infested by Satan, so we have to hate it. Not for ourselves, we have to tell the devil, "I'm not for myself, and I'm surely not for you. I hate myself, and I hate you. And I am for God, I am for Christ, I am for God's kingdom coming to the earth."
Francis, I think as we listened to Witness Lee in that last portion, we sensed a little bit of the spirit of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and I believe he has infected you as well. You're very animated on these points, and I know that we both care very much, deeply, about the Lord's children, that this kind of word would penetrate and find a sounding board out there in the body of Christ.
Yes, I just hope that everything that's been brought out today would really cause people to respond to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Francis. As always, I really enjoy our times together.
Thank you.
Well, we'll leave you with that today and invite you to come back with us again as we continue our life study of Revelation. We'll be in chapter 12 once again. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.